Welcome to the pod. I am grateful to have my wife, Nyla, in the show today.
Hi, everyone.
First episode. And the topic of conversation today is from reacting to responding.
Sounds good.
What does that mean to you?
I think like reacting is not conscious. Your reaction is what comes out naturally or innately. Where responding, I think, is where you plan how you're going to respond to a situation. So it's more thought went into it. And obviously, if you take time to have thought go into it, then it's normally a more calmer response or a more neutral response. That's what comes to mind for me in the beginning.
As you said, reacting is more of an unconscious reaction and responding is choosing how you want to be. And I think there is power in that because it allows us to, I would say, have more control in terms of our emotions and in that we're allowed to live a happier life, if that makes sense.
I think reactions in general probably aren't, your initial reaction versus a response will always be a bit less.
Definitely.
You know, it would be the best case scenario.
Let's do an example to break it down. So someone cuts you off at the road. What is your reaction?
I guess my reaction would be like, wow, what is this guy? Like, how's he driving?
Or tailgating you.
Tailgating me, my reaction is like, well, I'm not going to move.
Yeah, so you know? It's anger.
Yeah.
or resentment.
It's resistance, rebellion. Like resistance. Yeah, resistance.
You're resisting the situation.
But then once I take a moment, I'm like, okay, it's probably safer for me to just move out of the way because I don't want someone driving behind me. That's literally half a meter.
So that's your response.
So that's my response. But my reaction would just be like, no, I'm going to stay here just because he's bugging me.
How do you get from reacting, which is your resistance and rebellious self, to responding, to being safe? And
I think it's always taking a moment. That's the key to a lot of things in life, to be fair.
Go.
I think it's always taking a moment. There's never a reason to respond within half a millisecond. Taking a breath. Taking a deep breath.
How do you take a deep breath?
Like, no, <I'm joking>. Breathe in and then you breathe out. If I do take a conscious breath, I do make sure it is a deep breath that goes into my belly. Because from what I've learned in my course, that kind of diaphragmatic breathing puts your nervous system into a different state, which is a lot more calmer and cooler. And you're not in your fight or flight mode.
You're in homeostasis. Or you're moving to rest and recovery or rest and healing mode instead.
Yeah. So if I am taking a conscious breath, I always make sure it's through the belly.
It's taking that moment.
Taking that moment. I think that's something you're really good at.
We can talk for hours about taking the moment. There's obviously so many ways to experience the moment and tackle it. But for me personally, say I'm frustrated. My initial reaction to someone tailgating me is frustration. My way of taking the moment, I mean, there's so many ways, but my initial way now is just to let the feeling be, not judge it, just accept it, don't resist the feeling. And then naturally energy moves from just being and allowing the feelings to be, a more natural or more neutral state comes up. From there, I can change to responding, which is essentially a higher vibration.
Yeah.
So from that situation, my response is, I would say, compassion, in terms of whenever I do see someone tailgating in a rush, maybe they're on their way to either give birth or it's a guy and he's driving quickly to his wife who's giving birth, right? Yeah. Benefit of the doubt. That, I think, comes from compassion. But that's a response rather than a reaction. So that's one way of taking the moment and going from reaction to response.
This is probably the perfect topic for us to do like our episode on. One of the things I tell people the most that is the biggest difference between us is I think I'm a reactor in general, and you're more of a responder.
Yeah.
In that comes both pros and cons for both of us.
Yeah.
But I think that is actually probably one of our biggest contrasts in who we are as people, is how we deal with situations.
Yeah.
I think I'm very fiery and I'm like an explosion. So you were talking about the wave of the feeling comes and passes. my wave is like a tsunami. Boom, it's like a huge one. Yeah. But then it's over quickly. Where yours is maybe like a gentle breeze, little like...
I mean, not necessarily all the time, but more, I'd say like a deep current.
Neither of us are all the time.
Yeah,
neither of us are all the time. And I think we're both working towards getting to the middle of that, which is probably like a regular wave, let's say, you know? But I think 5 years ago, because hello, everybody, we're almost married for 5 years this weekend. But if I think back to 5 years ago, I'd say like I was definitely tsunami and you were definitely shallow waves. Maybe now, like a nice big wave, like those surfing waves in Hawaii. Like, you know, like the waves on Atwan's beach. And that's the averages. You sometimes have a tsunami and sometimes I have gentle waves.
That is it like depends, a
I think we're both working towards the middle ground.
Balance, right? And managing those emotions. And don't get me wrong, reactions in terms of safety is important. For example, when it is actually a fight or flight situation and you need to react and you need to defend or you need to protect and save, then reactions are so important. Let's put that out there.
I'm just thinking back. So when me and Hada were on our honeymoon, there was a day where the currents were so strong and I was in full panic mode. And I was like, we got to swim back to shore. I'm just going to take a break. And I'm like, no, don't take a break. There's no break. But that's probably the like physical like metaphor of that, that you're more calm, cool, and collected. Maybe that's a situation where the reaction would have served us more.
There's a balance in everything.
Yeah, there's a balance in everything. And every type of reaction has an appropriate response. What I wanted to ask you is because you were saying you let the feeling pass. You just sit with it and let the feeling pass.
I'm
For a lot of people, that concept, let the feeling pass, like, what does that even mean practically? What does that mean? What are you doing in that moment? What are you feeling?
So in that sense, you need to break it down into just understanding why you're letting the feeling go. So essentially, the first initial feeling is anger, right? Or frustration. It's knowing that why you're letting the feeling go is to change from anger or frustration to neutrality. And then from neutrality, it's easier to jump to more positive vibrations such as compassion, love, peace, and joy. By feeling it, it's energy. Everything is energy. Then anger doesn't feel good. But it's being the space that allows that anger to be. And eventually, how you breathe in and out, that energy will flow in and out. You just need to allow it to flow. You need to not resist it and let it be. Don't resist it. Feel the sensations, the feelings. Don't judge it. Don't label it. You don't even need to label it as anger or frustration. You can just feel the feels. As you know, the popular saying, feel the feels when, you know, it's just feeling the feels. You'll notice eventually I come into a more natural or more neutral state, going back to homeostasis. And then from there, you can bounce naturally even easier into your more true self, which is loving, which is accepting, which is compassionate and joyful. So,
okay, so follow-up question now. Anger doesn't necessarily feel good, compared to love, for example.
Yeah,
but sometimes anger feels great. When you're in the anger, it's like a fire inside you. You're like, I want this fire to like grow even more. You
just want it,
like, if you're angry at someone, for example, like you kind of just want to keep going. And it's, I wouldn't say an addiction necessarily, but almost like it's
it fuels us on fire.
It's good, you know,
be at angry, that moment.
And you kind of want to just let it
anger is energizing.
You know, it's energizing.
It is energizing.
But so then when you're in that moment where the anger is really like
strong
and it's actually fueling you, how do you take a step out of that kind of anger?
There's obviously many ways to transmute anger, because anger is like holding hot coal and it's throwing the hot coal onto someone else, thinking that, but it's actually hurting yourself. That energizing that you feel is not sustainable. In the moment, it might feel good to say that nasty comment or to do that nasty action, but it's not sustainable. There's many ways to deal with it. First, I would say, is a thought. Which is, and this is harder to do, but depends on, I guess, your awareness. But you can do, what would love do? You can ask yourself powerful questions. What would love do in this situation? You can tackle it through thought, empowering questions. You can tackle it through feelings, which is allowing the feeling to be, which is what we talked about earlier. and feeling your heartbeat, feeling grateful that you're alive, directly changing your vibration as much as you can into your heart. And your heart is usually your life force and your love. So trying to focus on your heart and be grateful for your life, that's one way. And third, which is when the anger is really intense and you can't shake it off, is doing something behaviorally different, such as going to the beach, which is one of my favorite things to do, is going into the beach or going into the ocean and swimming. But that's not always practical because you just can't access the beach sometimes.
Yeah. But I think that's something really good for like longer term anger. Your anger at a situation that keeps coming up in your mind. Let me just go take like a physical break from this feeling. Let me go to the beach or let me go work out or do whatever exercise. It is your form of letting go, like in changing the environment and changing the pace. When you're angry in that moment and that anger is just burning fire, I think what you said about what would love do is probably like a really good tip. Even if you don't ask what would love do, it's just taking a moment to reflect. That's really, what do I want? Yeah. What do I want in this moment? Yeah. Do I want to be angry or do I actually want to be seen? Or do I actually want to be heard? Or do I actually want to feel loved? And then reflecting on those answers and deciding, what is the outcome I really want?
Exactly. You because
know? Do I want to hurt this person back or find a way for me to feel better?
Because if you hurt that person back or you're recreating that cycle of anger to guilt, it's reinforcing that cycle. But do you want to get out of that cycle and feel better? Which takes sometimes a bigger person to overcome and be that bigger person. But that essentially is taking you out of that negativity and allowing you to break free. You know, in long term, it's so much better to react with compassion, to respond with compassion.
Now, the next thing to talk about, we talked about reacting when it's like anger, for example.
Yeah.
What about reacting versus responding when it comes to like happiness? Let's talk about that for a minute.
Yeah. Okay. Sounds good. So what's an example that you have, for example?
Let's say you get your dream job offer. What's your reaction? Your reaction is like jumping up and down.
With that, that's, I guess, the beauty of life. You're feeling joy from getting your new job. And you just have plethora or so many options of beautiful vibrations you can feel, such as gratitude. I'm so grateful I have this opportunity.
Yeah.
Or happiness or...
But is that the reaction or is that the response then?
I think it's your playground, whatever you want to choose. I think it's natural. I think with that...
Doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
I think it really comes down to like how conscious you are of what you're doing. That's what we said from the beginning, that the reaction is unconscious. The responding is conscious, it's thought through. I guess it matters less, probably, than when it's reacting and responding to negative feelings.
Because you're breaking that cycle of negativity and positivity. It's just easier to be.
Yeah.
It's more enjoyable to be.
So you get your dream job offer and you decide, like your reaction is just to go out and celebrate. Where maybe if you responded and you took a moment to think about it, the first thing I actually want to do is do something for myself to acknowledge all the hard work that I've done. That probably will pay off in the future.
You 100%.
Know, acknowledging yourself, seeing yourself, you know, witnessing yourself. Where if you just go out and celebrate, you miss the moment to take that time to acknowledge yourself and see yourself and witness yourself.
Exactly.
That realistically would probably serve you down the line. I know a lot of people who don't acknowledge all that they've done. You hear a lot of people talk about, I feel like I'm not doing enough. Hello, you've done so much. Like, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
You know, I'm definitely like that. When I look at other people and people our age have started their career and their job and I've done nothing. And then my friends are like, what are you talking about? You have a family, you've raised a kid, you've done so much, you're doing your course, but it's not enough. And maybe in those moments where I do have those wins, realizing I'm raising my own kid or realizing that I've signed up for a course and I'm completing it. Or maybe if I took those moments to consciously like acknowledge myself and be like, hey, pat on the back, you're doing good. I would have less moments of, oh, I'm not doing enough.
That's empowering yourself. You're taking your power of gaining that celebration from outside and flipping it. So by celebrating yourself, you're sustaining yourself, if that makes sense. And you're not looking for it from outside, but noticing that you have it within you. That's power. You're not looking for it from outside you. And you're filling your cup from within rather than from outside. And that's powerful.
Let me ask you this then. This is your first like, okay, proper, not proper, I don't want to take away from the time before you recorded, but like, we're sitting down in a recording studio in a podcast room, and you're like,
okay,
you know, it was planned to come and do this and like record an episode. So it's a good thing, right? Like celebration. What's your initial reaction? And how do you think if you wanted to respond to this?
My initial reaction definitely is obviously nervousness, you know, in terms of the unknown. But my response, actually, you know, when I really sit with that nervousness and I allow myself to be and get into the flow with you and just be here with you, present, I'd say is excitement. It naturally changes to excitement and just gratitude to be here, to have this opportunity. Not everyone has a recording studio or a podcast room, that not everyone has the ability to be here.
And not everyone is brave enough. I would like to take that moment to say that. Even I, in my head, talk about, oh, it'd be cool to like start a podcast, you know, or talked about it with my friend. But actually to sit down and make it to the room and book a time in and come and decide what there, you're going to do and like find a topic to talk about. And that takes bravery, I think. And also self-love, because you have to decide you love yourself enough to actually want to do it and not hold yourself back.
200%. So we're here.
We're here.
Potentially recording one of our first podcast episodes. Reaction to respond. Reacting to responding. You want to play a game? Maybe we put each other in situations where I'll give you an example and then you have to break down how you would change your reaction to responding.
Quick responses, right?
Whatever. Okay. No, yeah. Someone says a not so nice comment to you.
You know, people do that a lot.
Ready a reaction, okay?
Honestly, my first reaction is to ignore.
Okay.
But you know, I've actually been reflecting on this recently and I think I'm ready to start responding. Was that necessary?
Ooh, you know? Okay.
Like, it's not really like attacking back. Is that a kind thing to say? Is that a nice thing to say?
Yeah. That's healthy boundaries as well.
I think you have to learn that as well. And you have to decide when enough is enough. And definitely you can go the other side of the spectrum. Your reaction could be like, what is wrong with you?
That's not in balance.
Maybe ignoring it sometimes may be a bit of like ignoring yourself. I don't respond because I don't want to be the kind of person who would start conflict. Maybe it's not starting conflict. Maybe it's just like honoring my truth.
And setting healthy boundaries as well. Mm-hmm. You know, I've recently learned that boundaries can be verbal. And I know that's such a simple thing, but actually it was like it's just one sentence. You're one sentence away from that boundary.
People often think implementing boundaries and putting them out there is quite confrontational. It's an outward energy, like it's an aggressive energy, where it can be like that, but it also can be done in quite a neutral energy, actually a loving energy for yourself. It doesn't have to be an attack back on that person.
Yeah,
it can also just be, hey, this is where I'm at.
That comes with your tone and what you say. It doesn't have to be aggressive.
Yeah.
Like, hey, that's not nice.
Ooh, just... I have one. So me and Hadam have a 2-year-old son. So what if someone came up to your son?
Okay.
And started telling him off, some random person. We're in a park. Our son does something like a little cheeky.
What is he doing?
I don't know. He did something like maybe he shouldn't have.
He shouldn't have.
Okay. And another random person, like another parent or whatever.
That doesn't know me.
That doesn't know you. Starts and comes and yells at our kid directly.
Yeah, I would say that's not your kid.
No, but what's your reaction? And what's your response?
I would go to Aden first.
Your reaction or response?
This is my reaction, I think.
I think this is your response.
Really?
Because I think if you have it in you to go to Aden first, that's, you've thought like, okay, let me check on my kid first.
Okay, so I guess this is my response, but I'd go to him. I think my reaction then would be to tell that person, that's not your kid to tell off. If you have an issue, just talk to me about it and I'll discipline him. But it's not your kid to discipline.
See, this is what I mean. Your reactions are like responses.
You know what I mean? Like, my response would be to go to Aden, make sure he's okay, calm him down, and then talk to him. Talk to the person who was telling off our son. Because I feel like, it's not their place.
But you see what I mean? Naturally, your reaction, quote unquote, that you were saying, this is my reaction, was already something that I would define as a response. Because for me, I think if I was in that situation, I would just stand in front of Aden and like start yelling back at the person
who was
telling him off.
But my old response would be to shut down. But I think with Aden specifically, our son, I feel like that's not an option, if that makes sense.
Your old reaction is to shut down.
Yeah, to shut down. But with Aden, like in terms of intense situations, but with our son, I feel like that's not an option. Okay, like so, there's something within me that's like, no, you have to.
Yeah.
You have to respond.
Let's talk about what shutting down is as a reaction, because we haven't covered that.
That's a fight or flight response, right?
That's actually the freeze.
Fight or flight or freeze. Fight, flight, or freeze.
Yeah.
So growing up, this was the norm, which is to shut down and just freeze, just to brush it off, not to react or not respond.
Do you think you even process for the reaction and response?
You definitely... No, it's suppression. It's pure suppression. Yeah. Because it's, well, I'm feeling all these feels. No, I'm pushing it back down. And that's the shutting down. You're not allowing your feels to be felt or to be expressed. In one sense, it feels like you're neutralizing it, but actually you're suppressing it and holding it down, which isn't necessarily healthy.
I think like in the time that I've known you, you've come a long way in that. Definitely in the beginning. If me and Hadab were to have an argument, his response or like his reaction would be to more shut down.
Yeah.
Where I'm like, let's talk about it right now, even if we're angry. And Hadab is just like, I'm just going to go meditate for a while, you know, like, and I think that was more of a freeze response. I feel like you've come a long way from that where like,
I'm going to let my feels be felt.
Yeah, you will feel your feels and come and whatever. You still process it like differently to me, but I don't think you shut down as much.
Yeah.
What would you tell like people listening? Like, how do you get out of the freeze mode?
How you get out of it, I think, is knowing that it doesn't help. It doesn't serve you. Because if you freeze and shut down, you're just keeping that energy within you and keeping it for a later time instead of letting it out and releasing it. That's the first thing to know. And then to deal with it is just to allow yourself to feel it. You know, you deserve to feel your feels. It's just feelings anyways, in the end of the day. It's not necessarily personal. You're allowed to. That's the key, is you're allowed to feel your feels. And it's okay to express them. It's okay to let them out. It's okay to release them. And from there, then you manage it. Because sometimes those feels might be a negative projection. But then you learn, you grow. And you release them in a more constructive way. But you first need to learn how to release them or be allowed to release them. Know that you're allowed to. And then from there, you can change your way in terms of constructively release them instead of destructive in a more destructive way. So definitely you're allowed to feel your feels. Yeah. That's the key. And obviously learning from different people, how they release them and seeing what helps them get out of. Everyone deals with fight, flight, or freeze, right? But it's seeing, but also everyone has their way of getting out of it. And it doesn't matter what you're feeling in terms of fight, flight, or freeze, but it's how you deal with it. Yeah. You know what I mean? That's the key, is how do you get out of it? Yeah, and seeing other ways and methods and the ways we talked about, which is through the mind, which is powerful thoughts, or if the feels, feeling grateful, allowing the feeling to be, or behavioral, which is going for a walk or going to the beach, going for a swim, you know, even just cuddling or holding hands, whatever it may be. It's not so
important to fixate on what your reaction is. It doesn't matter. How are you going to respond?
Yeah, we're all going to react.
Everyone reacts.
No one is perfect. Dr. Joe Dispenza says, it's how long do you react for? Because for me personally, I used to react for a long time. It would take like hours or days even sometimes. Mm-hmm. It would bleed on to the next day. And a lot of people do that. They're thinking of this resentment for like days and months. But it's how quickly do I bounce back? How long am I going to be angry for? Is it worth it? No, it's never worth it. Cutting that reaction period to as short as possible. It's okay to react. It's how long do I react for? Cutting that to as minimum as possible so you can live your life again. So you can be happy again. So you can enjoy life again. And then eventually, at least this is my assumption, is your reactions are so quick that you bounce back like nothing. And that's a superpower. And people can bounce back a couple of seconds and just release it or not necessarily have the reactions be so sticky. And I feel like you have that, mashallah. I feel like you definitely can bounce back very quickly.
Yeah, I think I bounce back quickly, but I definitely think I have not I have to work on, but there's room for me to work on the extremities of my reaction.
But
I don't have to get that angry. I don't have to get that sad.
But then,
you know? Yeah. Like, maybe it does last shorter. There's multiple goals.
Yeah.
One goal, like you said, is getting your reaction to last less and less and not be so sticky. And then also, for me, my goal is like getting my reactions to not be so intense. When I get angry, I physically feel it, especially in pregnancy. That's when I really take a note of like the intensity of what I'm doing to myself. I remember even in my first pregnancy, there was one time I got into an argument with someone and I was so angry that when the argument finished, I could feel the anger pulsating through my body. I could feel that fire. And I was actually worried about the safety of my pregnancy. How does a little baby survive through this kind of intensity? For me, my goal is definitely like, I mean, even if you're not pregnant, you know, and the baby isn't there, why are you putting your own body through that kind of intense energy? It's really like not something that feels good. Yes, it's release for sure, 100%. But maybe if I did take that moment and I did respond or reflect, it wouldn't be so intense.
Yeah.
And it's not suppressing the anger. It's just having a more neutral response to it. For example, allowing myself to feel the anger without letting it consume me. Don't let it fuel me. Not letting it fuel me, but rather letting it just be a wave.
Yeah.
Where like right now I'm like, oh, bit of anger? Okay, pour into me, you know? Like, and I like let it really consume me.
Yeah.
And I think that isn't the best either.
Yeah.
I think both, you know, I guess shortness and intensity.
And I think intensity is like, it's not that one incident. It's a buildup of anger that's been accumulated.
100%.
Yeah, it's not that 100%. If you really break it down, that one incident probably isn't worth all that anger, but it's the buildup of all that anger.
100%.
You know? And then it's like a, you know, like a hatchet that you open and it's Pandora's box. All the energy is being released. So that's why it's so intense, because that energy was being suppressed. Because it's small things that happen every day that you add it to your angry box within. And, then,
and especially if it's someone who like you repeatedly have situations with where you kind of brush it off.
Yeah,
like, I always say it takes a lot for me to get angry, but when I get angry, I'm angry. That's because I think I don't communicate it from the beginning.
Yeah.
Where maybe if the first time a situation happened, the first time someone said not kind words to me, I just addressed it, then it wouldn't be so big when I finally respond to it. I'm also suppressing.
I'm also suppressing. Yeah.
That's one of the keys to like
not hold it in. Yeah.
Through reaction to responding is like dealing with it when it's a little reaction, you know, like deal with it before
exactly.
it's so heavy.
Exactly.
Deal with it before it takes over your being.
You don't need to collect all that wood for the big fire. When you do get that one piece of wood, just burn it. And so it doesn't build such a big bonfire, you know.
It doesn't like burn down the village, you know. I feel like that's me. Like I'm like burnt out the village.
Yeah.
Where it can just be a nice little cute bonfire, you know, by the ocean.
Yeah.
You and your friends sitting next to it.
Yeah.
Like, chilling.
Yeah, you know? Exactly.
Just, there's a fire, but it's contained.
That can be made out into a day, you know, like you're not feeling so good or you have a reaction. You can make an event out of it. Okay, let's go to the beach today. Let's go to the park today. Let's go for a walk today, whatever it is. And then that can be a more useful or productive way of just dealing with it.
Now I'm thinking, how much of us do it in a preventative way?
That's key.
If you think of health,
good, that's good habit. That's good
habit. You do a lot to prevent chronic disease or like heart attack in the future, like diabetes. And
ABCDEFG,
you know, like, you know, you eat healthy, you exercise. It's a lot of preventative measures.
Exactly.
But what do you do that's preventative for anger and stress and frustration and sadness and guilt and all those negative emotions? Do you have daily practices that help you in
the future
when those situations arise? So maybe you can talk about some of your practices, because you're someone who, mashallah, I really admire in that.
I love you. So for that, I would say the first thing is like meditation. That's key. Tuning into my body, allowing me to look within and be more aware. That definitely increases, I'd say, my awareness of what I'm feeling.
So just so everyone knows, Hadab wakes up every single day, weekend, weekday, whatever it is, at 5 a.m. and commits to doing his daily hour-long meditation in the morning. That's something I really, really admire.
It's my bread and butter in terms of just to give myself that space to be aware, to give myself love. It's time for myself. Because of that, I feel like I'm definitely more aware of my vibration. And okay, now it's time to change it to a more positive one. Or yeah. Okay, you're lingering in this negative vibration for too long, you know, for example. That is one. And I'd say my second one is like taking inventory. Before like I go to bed, I take stock of how I did. If I had a bad situation, I ask myself, what can I do differently next time? How can I shorten? For example, if we got into it, for example, and had an argument, mm-hmm. my question would be, before I go to bed, is what did I learn from this? How can I cut it shorter next time? Or how could I change from reacting to responding? And then I'm like signaling new ways of responding to you. And then if you ask yourself these questions, it will come up. Mm-hmm. I could have just held your hand. Next time, if something does happen, that's what I'm going
to
do.
You know, to just hold my
hand. Exactly. Or to hug you. It's taking inventory of, okay, I was feeling anger today. I don't necessarily want to feel that for that long. So how do I shorten the reaction period? And what can I do to lessen that? So then next time I'm prepared. And that can be done with anything, whether mm-hmm. it's a nasty comment, whether it's just asking yourself, how can I shorten it? And how can I deal with that better next time? Mm-hmm. And then my second inventory is, what did I do good today? For example, it'd be like, oh, super grateful that I was doing a podcast today. Then it's also doing your wins and then focusing on that. Okay, how can I feel more grateful throughout my day?
Yeah.
When I see our son today, you know what I mean? It's then you build up as well. So it's just taking inventory before you sleep. Obviously, your subconscious is more open. That's where you're more susceptible to newer beliefs or changing beliefs. So those are two ways that on the top of my head.
I think you do a lot more than that. I think those are some. Before we go to bed every night, Hadab asked me what I'm grateful for in that day. And he makes me do like three things minimum.
No, but what you're
so tired.
What? Okay, so this is a practice everyone should do tonight or just whenever. But I'd say when before you go to bed, because it's the easiest to remember, is three things that happened in your day that you're grateful for and why. But you have to emphasize the why, because the why empowers that feeling. It's not like, oh, I'm grateful for our home. No, why are you grateful for our home? Because it gives us peace and safety and gives us so much joy. You know what I mean? So
that's definitely a preventative thing that you do. You raise.
Yeah, you're always raising your vibration.
You raise the vibration of your being so that when those things come up, you're not reacting so intensely because you're constantly
on a higher vibration. And you know how you condition your body? You're conditioning your body to a higher vibration, such as gratitude. So when you do react, because reaction can be like a lower vibration, right? Such as anger, fear, or whatever. So if you're generally in gratitude, which is a stronger vibration, then you're less likely to be in fear. And if you are in fear, it's easier to get out of it because that's not your norm. I used to love scary movies. That used to be like something I used to watch in the cinema and all of that. But now it's like, why was I subjecting myself to fear for 2 hours?
It's not just fear, it's like dark.
Yeah, and exactly. And then that's like, for example, when you watch cop shows, literally the same night you'd wait, like you'd have dreams of being chased by police and all of that.
So to be fair, I am a dreamer and whatever, like typically like I dream about the stuff that happened on that day. When I do watch like cop shows and stuff, typically my dreams are like, I'm like in an airport and then there's like hijackers coming down from the sky. And
yes. So that's you're conditioning your mind. It's your daily practices. What are you watching?
Yeah.
You know, are you watching shows about love or are you watching shows about like criminals?
I think also you mentioned this earlier in this recording, you look at things with compassion.
But that's trained though.
That's preventative too, right? Because you worked on
benefits of the doubt. Yeah.
Now it's easier for you to go to that. From a while ago,
it wasn't.
I have an aunt that always says 17
excuses. Yeah, I love that. I love that. Yeah.
And like, as in, before you judge someone or before you make an assumption, you always give 70 excuses to that person mentally of why they did that. That wasn't like a bad thing, if that makes sense. Like,
200%.
It wasn't a bad. Like they didn't have ill intention. You know, you give them 70 excuses first. That's also another practice. You do that, maybe not in 70 excuses, but definitely whenever something happens, you know, like you'll say to me, okay, but maybe they didn't mean it.
And hurts
consciously practicing that also has gone a long way for you.
It is true. You know, hurt people hurt. if someone did say something negative to you, they're just feeling negative about mm-hmm. themselves. That's why they're saying it. If someone's in love with life, they're not going to say anything negative mm-hmm. about. But if someone hates life, they're going to be hateful. They're going to be angry. They're going to be judgmental. One of my favorite stories about Dr. Wayne Dyer is he's like, if you squeeze oranges, all you're going to get is orange juice. So if you squeeze someone who's angry, all you're going to get out of him is anger. Or if you squeeze someone with love, all you're going to get out is love and happiness. So what are you feeling inside? And if you see that in someone else, if you see someone so angry, so resentful, so negative, that's just what they're feeling inside. So naturally, it is compassion because they're suffering more than you probably are.
That's another thing that you do. You work on your mindset a lot. And you do that also through learning. That's another preventative thing that people can do. Kadab listens to a lot of audiobooks about like self-help, growth and spirituality, and a lot of biographies as well, where he takes away lessons from like great athletes and things like that. That's also a preventative thing that you
200%.
Do. You invest in education. People think education is just learning about finances, marketing, science, but actually there's a lot you can learn about your consciousness.
And life experiences, 200%.
Yeah.
I love that. I never looked at it that way, you know, like it's educated.
Well, you're welcome.
But that's true. You know how they say choose your tribe? If you want to be like someone, then surround yourself with that person. Yeah. And sometimes you don't have access to those people physically, but you can access them through books and audiobooks and podcasts and online presence. So if you're hearing what they're saying, if you're listening to taking, like, for example, a biography, right? And taking in their how they dealt with hardship, how they dealt with good times, how did they deal with fear, how did they deal with guilt, how did they deal with, you know,
reactions,
exactly, when, or betrayal or whatever. And then it's like your subconscious is taking this in, whether you're conscious of it or not. You're going to remember, oh, this is how this person dealt with it. Oh, this is why this person is great. It's because they've gone through all these hardships, and the bigger key is how they've dealt with it. Mm-hmm. Definitely listen to inspiring people. Listen to people that you're passionate about. It can be whoever you want. That sense, whoever inspires you. It doesn't have to be Gandhi or whoever it may be. It can be someone that, you know, that inspires you. Like for me, I love listening to NBA biographies, you know, because I feel like that was a, you know, such a passion for me growing up. So just hearing their stories, how they approach their worth ethic and hardships and injuries and focus and attention and awareness, for example. Yeah, it's just taking all of that in. What about you? What are some methods that you do that are preventative?
Preventative?
I feel like I know some.
Okay.
Already.
Okay, well, start us off because I'm like...
I feel like you're journaling and before you go to bed, like your messages to God. I feel like that's powerful.
It is quite powerful. And actually, you know,
diary,
like... It's also recently, very recently, it's become also messages to myself. It's kind of like evolved as well. Like when I'm saying thank you God for like this today. And then I'm also like, you know, thank you, Nyla. Thank you, Nyla, for this today, you know, as well. Yeah, and putting that gratitude towards myself as well. Food goes a long way. Like, I think, you know, like, okay, so eating clean, eating things that nourish your body, eating things that don't like clog up your system, feeling good in your body, exercising as well, goes a long way to how you respond to things. Like if I wake up and I'm achy or something hurts me, for example, my mood that day is definitely impacted. It's definitely impacted.
Yeah,
the way I react to things that day will be different than waking up on a day where I feel like my body's so light and so, you know, and I feel strong and energized, things like that. So I think taking care of yourself, like just your being, your body, your vessel, that also helps with how, I guess if you think about it, like even if your body is like empty, you know, then things flow through it quicker.
Yeah.
You know, but if your body's clogged up with all this like stuff, like whether it's junk food or whether it's negative thoughts or whether it's bad feelings, then it will take a lot longer for when that wave comes in to go through you. Doing stuff like prayer, meditation. Like, okay, I don't do the meditation. Well, I'm trying
But prayer is meditation. Prayer, it's the same. Yeah.
Journaling and even exercising and spending quality time with loved ones. Doing stuff that make you feel good is probably the best thing you can do for yourself.
That's preventative.
Preventative. Just doing stuff that make you feel genuinely good. That's really what it comes down to for me. You can list all the like small things that I do me, but more than that, it's honing into your needs and your wants and your desires and then listening to them and then taking action and responding to your body and treating yourself with that kindness and love. And I think when you do that for yourself, then it's just a lot easier to just live life.
Yeah.
To live life in general.
Okay, I think this is the perfect time to wrap up this conversation. Thank you guys for listening to the pod. Thank you, Naila, for joining me in this conversation. Many, many more to come, inshallah.
Inshallah.
Hope you guys enjoyed it and may it enhance your daily quality of life, empower you and enlighten you, inshallah. Have a good day. Stay blessed.